This is Encounters, a dialogue that brings you multifaceted life stories you don't want to miss.
So Fei Long, I like my name. I've kept it all these years because I enjoy when I introduce myself to people. Every time, it brings a smile to their face.
I'm smiling.
I mean, every time. It's without a fail. Making people laugh and smile is very important to me. Whether it's a one-on-one or a group class, I'm always making jokes. It's really effective for group classes because when people laugh together, they connect. My dad is a doctor, so I got some influence in that. I joined my undergrad studying to be a doctor. And then along the timeline of school, I decided that instead of being a doctor and treating people's problems, I could do something to help prevent their problems. So that's when I went into trying to consult people and help them live healthier so they didn't have to go to the hospital. They didn't have to see these kinds of things. The main reason, at least in the beginning and still now, was because China is still new to the fitness industry developing. I want to make sure that happens in the correct way. I'm always fighting against people who, for example, I'm trying to draw more attention to other facts and advices that fitness KOLs, you know, they give as not right. And more importantly, it's dangerous for people to follow. So now what I want to do is I try to say, hey, you don't have to sacrifice your health or anything to look super good, because a lot of people do this crash dieting to lose a bunch of weight and it's not good. I say you can be healthy and still look good, and you can look good and still be healthy. Like, I try to help put those together.
Hello and welcome to Encounters. I'm your host, Man Ling. My guest today is Chris Courtner. Chris traveled to China from the United States for the first time in 2011 as an exchange student from the University of Maine. He was so impressed by the booming economy and the job prospects he found in Beijing that he was determined to come back. 2 years later, he was accepted into a graduate program at Tsinghua, one of China's most prestigious and influential universities. Although he was a student of international relations, Chris found a fulfilling career path in the fitness industry and landed a job as a coach at a gym after graduation. Over the past few years, he has gained popularity in Beijing as an advocate of fitness and healthy lifestyles. In today's program, Chris talks about how physical exercise helped him to get fit and how it developed into a healthy career. And he shares with us his observations on the growth of China's fitness industry. Would you please introduce yourself to our listeners first?
Okay. My name is Chris. I'm from California. I'm a healthy lifestyles consultant slash coach, and also a certified personal trainer. So basically what I try to do is I try to empower people to accomplish their own health and fitness goals. And that could be from just guiding them in the right direction, living healthier, or allowing already an accomplished athlete to have more gains and more progress in what they want.
Okay, you have a Chinese name called Kong Fei Long, right?
Yeah.
It's what a funny name, because Fei is being fat and Long is such a dragon. It's our token. You know, we are Long the Chinese descendants of the. And Kong, where does this family name come from? Interesting.
So Kong Fei Long. It's I chose Kong because I like Confucius, and also because it sounds like my English last name, Courtner.
Yeah.
I found a lot of foreigners like Confucius, and sometimes they don't even realize why, or they don't realize that they do like Confucius. So I say that because he has so many life sayings, expressions that we use, and many people don't realize those come from a Chinese philosopher slash scholar. So I think the main one is the golden rule, right? Is treat others how you want to be treated.
己所不欲，勿施于人. Things that you do not want others to do unto you, you do not do it to others.
Yeah.
Just as simple as that.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is Kong you like,
yeah.
But Fei is definitely you don't like, but you put it as your middle character, the name.
Fei Long. So Fei is because I can eat a lot. Long because a couple different reasons. One, I was born in the year of the dragon. Another is I like Li Xiaolong and Cheng Long and these guys. And
oh, yes, they have their names there, right? You are fans of them?
Yeah, I think that Bruce Lee, he did so much for the world in terms of martial arts and even fitness. He was a frontier guy, a lot of fitness and gym equipment, and always experimenting to make himself more superhuman. Mm-hmm. And Jackie Chan, he's just an overall great guy. And when you see him, you know, you just want to laugh, smile. He's like, what do they call him? Uncle Jackie or something.
Mm-hmm.
So Fei Long, I like my name. I've kept it all these years because I enjoy when I introduce myself to people that mm-hmm. every time it brings a smile to their face.
I'm smiling.
So, I mean, every time. It's without a fail.
Are you a humorous person in life?
Yeah, making people laugh and smile is very important to me.
Do you incorporate this sense of humor into fitness training, I mean?
Oh, yeah.
You crack jokes while, you know, keep people engaged in training?
Yeah. So sometimes, whether it's a one-on-one or a group class, I'm always making jokes. And it's really effective for group classes because when people laugh together, they connect. You know, they can really enjoy the experience.
Now, tell me, when did you get started in fitness? That's your passion, right?
Yeah, it is my passion, really. So I was fortunate enough to have a father-like figure in my life who was very healthy and fit. So I spent a lot of time with my grandfather when growing up. And he's a ex-military. He was in the police force after that. He put himself through night school so he can get a degree in engineering to have a better job to raise his family. So hard worker. And after his time in the military service, he really had a perspective change as far as the importance of living healthy. Because when he was in the war, he lost most of his teeth from malnutrition.
My goodness.
So when he got back from the war, back to the States, he started living healthier, eating better, you know, making fitness part of his regular thing.
Mm-hmm.
And up until the day that he died, he was always active. Like, he's the first person that showed me a trip to the gym. And then when he wasn't at the gym, which is only two or three times a week, he was moderating, you know, eating. Of course, he had his chocolate cake sometimes and he had a beer, but it's always moderation. And he was always active. The running joke that we have in the family is he waited until his lunch break to die.
So he was a man who used both his brain and his physique. Very
yeah.
powerful man. But I want to know that between your grandpa and you, the grandson, where is your daddy?
My dad, he's on the other side of the States. My parents divorced early, so I didn't get to see him very often. My dad is a doctor, so I got some influence in that. He pushed me unintentionally. He motivated me to go more into the research side of health. I joined my undergrad studying to be a doctor. I went into pre-medicine. And then along the timeline of school, I decided that instead of being a doctor and treating people's problems, I could do something to help prevent their problems. So that's when I went into trying to consult people and help them live healthier so they didn't have to go to the hospital. They didn't have to see these kinds of things.
So you focused on people instead of the technical things, right? Okay. Seems to me that pre-medical studies is where you started from. Your consciousness of fitness started, right? But later, how come you diverted to international relations? That's a bit sort of strange to me, because it's not in line with health and being a doctor. Just now, I heard you said your father has partially influenced you in a medical sort of direction. So why international studies when you, you know, went to college?
Yeah, that is an interesting, and
it's a twist.
It is. I think I found that that's just the way that I really tend to live my life, is I like to know a lot about, at least a little bit about everything. And when I wanted to go back to China, because I had left to finish my bachelor's, I first did the language exchange program in Beijing for a year. And then I came back to the States to finish my bachelor's. And then I wanted to go back to China. So I was looking at graduate programs, and I found the one at Tsinghua. At that time, I saw that it was a good university, but I wasn't aware that it was, you know,
top
one of the best.
One of the
So it didn't freak me out in that sense. You know, a lot of people be intimidated. Oh, man, I can't make that. So I applied to it, and I had email correspondence with the head of the department. And they told me straightforward. They said, listen, we really like that you're coming from such a different background of biology and these things that are, have nothing to do with politics. And, you know, you have a good GPA, so we would like to give you a full scholarship. And wow. I said, wow, okay, yeah. I mean, I was on the fence, but that kind of pushed me over to their side. And, of course, everyone around me said, hey, a free master's degree, you got to take it.
When and where did you first learn about China? And you have this urge, you want to see this country, you want to come physically and step on the soil to feel this so-called Middle Kingdom, which is a little bit sort of mysterious to the Western, you know, regular people like you.
Well, my dad is, he was, when he was younger, he was really into martial arts. His first style was Chinese Kung Fu, and he did that for many years. He got very high level. And then when he was older, in his 40s, he was in ninjutsu, which is a Japanese fighting style. So I've also had that background. I've gone into different styles of martial arts, which spurred my interest in Asian cultures.
When you first came to China, how many years ago that was? In which year you came to China? The first time?
Yeah, so the fall of 2011. The end of the summer, so I'd say right before September, at the end of August, I came over, and, you know, I loved challenging myself and facing these new exciting things and trying foods I'd never tried before.
That's one thing. And then when you arrived, what shocked you most? Something that you didn't expect to see or to experience?
When I first came, I was shocked at how developed it was, honestly. And, you know, before I first came to China, my dad, he's never been to China. And all he really knows about it is what he had seen in old Hong Kong Kung Fu movies when he was growing up. This, like, underdeveloped place where it was rough and tough. And, you know, and I told him, no, Dad, it's not like that. I don't think it's like that. So when I came over, at first glance at Beijing, I was just shocked because it's like New York. It's so developed here. And I come from a small little desert town. So,
which part of the United States are you from?
Southern California. I'm about 2.5 hours east of San Diego.
Okay. So you grow up in a small town.
So I never lived in a big city before I lived in Beijing.
So what's the difference between a big city and a town, a small town? And, you know, regardless of which country.
It's definitely the culture. Big city culture as opposed to small city culture, it's pretty noticeable. I mean, the way people treat each other is the biggest difference. You know, in a small town, even if you don't know the person, you tend to be just friendly. There's more smiles and highs and, hey, how you doing? Like this stuff. But then you come to a big city and it's everyone is there probably for work. So they're just in their own little world. Maybe they're stressed from what's going on in their life, or they're stressed because other people are stressed and pushing them. And it's just, it's like a dog eat dog world over here. That was the biggest shock for me, because I'm a big guy, but I'm very passive. Like I don't want to, I'm non-confrontational. So I had to get used to old Chinese, you know, aunties elbowing me in the ribs to get on the bus and this kind of stuff. So.
Really? Yeah. So from there, I can notice, is this why you wanted to have clubs, have crowds, to engage in people contact sort of work? Because that's something you missed from a small town lifestyle. Is that because of that? Because if you come to the big city, you have to be used to work on your own. And to be cold-faced to your colleagues, you know, you focus on your own field. But you grew up in a small town, and you're used to people being friendly with each other, greeted each other every day, and even spread rumors every day with each other, right? Is that something that made you, you know, gradually, I mean, forming you, leading you into engage in fitness sort of business? Because then you have a crowd. Then you have a society surrounding you. Instead of you can accomplish your mission or your expertise all on your own. That's why I try to understand who you are. Do you agree with me?
I think I started moving towards having a bigger audience because I worked as a one-to-one personal trainer before, and you can make a huge impact on one person's life, or maybe them and the close people around them. But I felt that if I really wanted to make a difference, I needed to be more efficient with my time and this stuff. So that's when I started to force myself to get into talking to crowds and teaching group classes. And then eventually I said, okay, well, this is better, but it's still not enough to reach the masses. And that's when I got into social media more. And I still do one-to-one training and group classes and that stuff because it's fun and you make, you know, great friends that way. But as far as wanting to reach the masses, that's when I got into social media and started to do what I can for that.
So your real interest, I'm not saying that your real interest is not in the fitness sort of industry. It is. But your real interest is to use fitness, this tool, to change people's lives. You're interested in moving people. Yeah, that's why you want bigger influence. One-to-one is not enough.
Correct.
So when did you start to do your own fitness sort of business while you were still at Tsinghua University studying international relations?
At that time, I would just do my own training out in the park with the bars and all that stuff.
Yeah, costumes.
My classmates and some of the Chinese people would see me doing that and they would ask if they can join. And then I would end up just training with a bunch of people. It was always, you know, for free. It's not like I was having a job or anything. It's just I saw it as a chance to practice my own training styles and how to train people and all this.
You started from campus, playground, or the parks in China?
Yeah, I'd say that's where I really started most of the training, other people.
And then when did the idea of you can, you know, start a business and then make a living out of it?
Actually, it's after I graduated. After I graduated, I went back to the States to get certified. When I came back, I met an expat bodybuilder competitor in Beijing, and he kind of took me into his studio and he allowed me to train some people. And I started with very low feet because for me most important was to get my experience. I didn't want to charge a bunch and then be really bad at training people and get a bad reputation. So I just started really low. And
can I know how much was that really low?
Yeah, so for the first couple years, I was training people for probably like about 150 renminbi an hour, which for personal training, even Chinese personal trainers, that's low.
Yeah. And which year was that?
That was, I first started in 2016, I believe.
And now how much do you charge regular, I mean?
It depends on who it is. for the higher clientele, like I've worked with a lot of celebrities, I've charged them significantly more.
How much can that be?
I'd say on average for someone who like that, it's about 1,000. It has to do with how much I put into it. And it also has to do with many of them. They see that higher price as your quality.
But your focus is more like on the masses. I want to know, okay, let's talk about health now. What's the difference between the concept of fitness between your people and our people? The difference between Americans and the Chinese people? Are there any very fundamental, you know, differences you have observed so far by now?
I'd say the biggest difference between, and I found this when I first came here to China, I thought it was so interesting that at that time, Chinese people would really approach exercise and fitness as just a way to stay healthy. You'll see older Chinese folks in the park every morning at 6 a.m, just doing their stretches and doing their different exercises. That's just to stay active and stay healthy. Mm-hmm. Whereas a lot of the Western society, I should say younger folks especially, we get into fitness for the aesthetics. You know, oh, I want to look like that movie star. Oh, I want to have a sexy bikini body, like these things. And that was always interesting to me. And then, of course, that's starting to, everyone's getting internationalized, globalized, and that's, those ideas are mixing. And so now what I want to do is I try to say, hey, you can be, you don't have to sacrifice your health or anything to look super good, because a lot of people do this crash dieting to lose a bunch of weight and it's not good. I say you can be healthy and still look good, and you can look good and still be healthy. Like, I try to help put those together.
Okay, that's about 6 or 7 years ago when you came to China and you noticed that. And is that awareness narrowing? Now, more and more young people wanted to look masculine and especially men, macho, because there are complaints about in the Chinese society online, females are complaining mostly. There's no six packs, you know, the very healthy looking macho images. Even South Korean film stars, their bodybuilding was so impressive. They look so healthy and attractive. But look at the pretty face Chinese actors. When sometimes there are scenes, they have to strip off their clothes to show, you know, their army, their soldiers. There's no muscles, right? So is this changing?
Yeah, it's definitely changing. You know, Korea is about the same level. Their fitness industry development's about the same as the U.S. because the U.S. has been in South Korea for a long time, and they helped to develop that. And, you know, Korea really influences a lot of the entertainment here in China.
Yeah.
And now that they're seeing this stuff, and they're seeing then the U.S. with the action movies and all the competitors, they're getting bigger. The Chinese is, they're starting to see that they want that as well. Yeah, with some of my clients, I've definitely helped, like the women, they want to get the ma jia xian, you know, the female abs, and they want more well-defined shoulders and these sorts of things. And they don't want to just look like a
porcelain baby figurines.
Yeah, you know, or like what they used to look like, where it just was skin and bones, no muscle
slim
at all.
Yeah, yeah.
We call that skinny fat.
Uh-huh. So, that's for ladies, right? You're training ladies. What about the men, Chinese
for
men?
The,
I'm curious.
For the guys, it actually takes a little bit more effort because they have to put on more size, because the popular style before was like this Xiao Xian Ruo thing, you know, like the little boy skinny look. And now they all of a sudden want to be this big guy. And it takes a long time to build that kind of size naturally.
And then I think the big question comes when I ask you, why China? Why China is the country you choose to develop your for the future? Definitely you're going to stay in the fitness sort of industry, right? But you can do it in other countries too, even in the United States, your own country, and in maybe other countries. But why China? There must be, in what way China is attracted to you?
I'd say in the beginning, it was really because I started, like my life was here. Friends, people I know, my work relationships and networking is all here mostly. The main reason, at least in the beginning and still now, maybe not later in the future, was because China is still new to the fitness industry developing.
Yes.
And I want to make sure that happens in the correct way. I'm always fighting against people who, for example, I'm trying to draw more attention to other facts and advices that fitness KOLs, you know, they give. That's not right. And more importantly, it's dangerous for people to follow.
Can you give me an example?
When I first got started on Douyin, I was scrolling through the videos and I found this girl who had 2 or 3 million, a lot of followers on there. And she was just one of those skinny fat, typical Chinese looking girls who clearly does not exercise and just wears the gym clothes. And she was doing exercises and telling people to do those. And I just made I made a small comment, a friendly comment. I said, just for your viewers, you know, well-being, I think you should realize that you're not doing this correct and that the way that you're doing it and teaching people to do it will injure them along the line, like maybe not the first time, but eventually. And I got blacklisted from her 5 minutes
Really? She didn't respond to you and get
Totally blocked me from seeing her page after that. And that just goes to show that these people, they're doing it for the sales, to make the money. They don't care. And that bothers me a lot because they don't care about the people. They care about the money.
But why do you care about Chinese people?
It's not only Chinese people. It's more people in general. And I'm not quite sure where it comes from. It's definitely a natural impulse for me to be more protective of people who might not know that they need protection or they can't protect themselves. And that might be because the father figures in my life, they were always strong guys, martial arts, soldiers, and people who protect others. And so that's what it's always resonated for me was I wanted to make sure these people weren't taken advantage of and then that possibly affect their well-being and their future life.
So you are actually using social media platforms, reaching more Chinese people.
Yeah.
Are you very well received?
Yeah. I mean, most of the feedback I get is positive. And the more fans that I get, the more thank yous I receive as well.
And how many fans have you got so far? When did you get your first sort of posting? When did that happen? Within what a span of what time that you have received how many fans now?
It's really surprising. I've learned a lot because I do everything myself, filming, editing and all that. So it's a lot of work. So for me, I started from zero. It took me a while to get a certain number of fans. I'd say right before the COVID, I started producing more content, like more seriously. And then for a few months, I was putting out videos every day. And that was the boost that I needed because I jumped up probably 30 or 40,000 fans within a span of, which is not much for China.
Half a year.
But within this half year, I've reached up to about 50,000 now.
It's great because you're not the one who is attracting, you know, people's attention by doing outrageous things. You're going to grow, you know, steadily and slowly, right? And do these people, your fans, just come to watch your video or they seriously express their willingness to follow a healthy lifestyle from the inference? You can feel that you are having an influence on them.
I can tell who follows my video and takes them seriously because those are usually the more active followers. They will leave comments and send me messages asking me questions or saying thank you or, hey, this one's really good. So I sense that I have started to have some TFN, like some really good quality, like loyal people.
Mm-hmm.
But the majority is probably just people that watch it because it's
viewers. Viewers, white face. Yeah. So your direction, I mean, your future will definitely be fitness. Either do it online or, you know, in brick and mortar place, right?
Yeah, mostly I don't know how long that will be because I'm still doing other things, but I do want to be a better influence for that.
Yeah. Let's put it this way. We have a short plan, medium plan, and long-term plan. So the long-term plan definitely is fitness, right?
Yeah.
And medium is also. But short plan, you need to live like all of us. We need to make a living, right? To feed our own mouth. And then we do things that we are passionate about. Is that true?
Unfortunately, I don't know if I would have be in China in the long term for the fitness and everything, setting up my own place. But in this short time, short and medium run, I enjoy helping people and sharing this information with them. And like I said, my main purpose of this is to help people and be more of an influence for them, you know, help them live healthy life and not take their money. You know, I want them to be better.
Thank you very much.
Good habits make you healthier is Chris's catchphrase in the short videos he publishes online to promote exercise, nutrition, and healthy lifestyles. A young man with big dreams, Chris says his goal is to share his knowledge about fitness and what he's learned as a trainer with a wider and wider audience. And that's the end of our show. I'm Manling. Thank you for joining me. Be sure to visit chinaplus.cri.cn and look for Encounters, where you will find other episodes of the show, along with Manling's journals about our interviews.